Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this rainy Monday, the 12th of December, the day that many in this part of the world honor the Virgin of Guadalupe. Hope you had a great weekend and started to put at least a dent into the Christmas shopping and all that holiday shopping. I am Bill Buckmaster, your host, and it is the Buckmaster Show on KVOI, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, our friends in Gila County, listening on KJAA up in Globe, 1240 AM, and then in Douglas and Cochise County, it's KAPR AM 930. And there's live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. We also have the show streamed live at KVOI.com, and also there are three venues now for 24/7 anytime listening to our program: buckmastershow.com, TucsonSentinel.com, and TucsonCitizen.com. And we are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. We launch this edition of the Buckmaster Show, as we do every Monday, with the political face-off with one of our two teams of commentators. This week, it is the team of Munger and Robago. At 30 minutes past the hour, we'll make the announcement of this year's winners in the Southwest Books of the Year competition. This year, there are 13 top picks. We will hear what the reviewers have to say about this year's crop of Southwest theme-oriented books. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea, we would love to hear from you as well. Monday Political Face-Off features commentators John Munger, Tucson attorney and former Republican candidate for Arizona governor in 2010, and Vince Robago, 2010 Democratic candidate for Arizona attorney general. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. This is a family-owned and run business since 1985. They specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Vince and John, good to see you, boys.
Good to see you, boys. Good to see you.
Boy, I almost said boys.
And well, that's all right. I don't mind being called a boy.
Christmas shopping is just about done for both of you?
Getting ready to start.
Oh, I'm about halfway through.
There you go. U.S. Supreme Court this morning agreed to consider whether an injunction against the state's tough immigration law is illegal. And in doing so, they are likely to rule on just how far states can go in enacting their own laws in that area. Vince, any comments on this?
Well, I think, I'm excited to see that the Supreme Court's going to resolve the issues once and for all. It's certainly been a divisive issue. And for a lot of reasons. But so I'm happy the Supreme Court's going to finally decide the question on this issue.
What do you think, John?
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's a good thing for the country to have these issues decided. A number of states have passed similar laws, as you know. And it's important to have these important issues decided, whether the states can simply enforce federal law. And that's fundamentally what this is about. I think the states can. I'm sure Vince disagrees with me, and insofar as this particular law is concerned, I think it's constitutional, but we'll just have to see.
What do you think, Vince? Well, you don't think it's constitutional?
Well, first I have to disagree that it's about enforcing federal law. This is a brand new law. It makes just being in this state without having your federal immigration papers a state crime, so we created a brand new crime. And at the end of the day, I do believe it is unconstitutional. You know what I think was the most striking part about the judge's decision in this case that was upheld by the Court of Appeals was talking about the impact it has also on legal residents. And that's what I think the Republican Party and those that have been pushing it do not understand, is that the impact it has on legal residents and Hispanics as a whole because of the rub-off effect. People don't make that distinction. It allows for profiling. Despite the claim that it does not, they amended the law about a week after they passed it and said profiling is not allowed except to the extent allowed by law, and there's already a Ninth Circuit Court decision that allows for profiling near the border. So the reality is it's been unjust. It's not needed. It does delve into what is a federal issue. Article 1, Section 8 of the U.S. Constitution says naturalization is a federal concern. And now I know there are some areas where you can regulate. The U.S. Supreme Court last term in the Whiting, I think Whiting versus the Chambers of Commerce decision said that insofar as you can have a state that enforces regulations against businesses, like licensing decisions, they said, yes, you could do that. And the reason they said that is because federal law, the statute, says you can do that. But when you go into the issue of how far else you can go, I think if you read that decision, I believe the Supreme Court is going to find this unconstitutional.
Well, my response would be if you can enforce federal laws in some areas, then you ought to be able to enforce federal laws in all areas. And very frankly, if you can enforce federal law against the employers, which I agree with, that should be done, you ought to be able to enforce the rest of the federal laws. You can't pick and choose where the federal law preempts.
You can. That's actually not true.
And in fact, the federal statutes themselves allow the states have to enforce the federal law. So the federal statutes say they can enforce federal laws. The laws that Arizona passed simply say, look, there are laws on the books, and if you violate those federal laws, you are also violating state laws so that we can go ahead and enforce those laws here. And that's what it's about. And so, you know, it'll be an interesting question. We could argue it forever. We won't know what the answer is until the Supreme Court rules.
Here, the reality is that's a simplistic, inaccurate picture of what law got passed. That's not an accurate description of Senate Bill 1070. It's not an accurate description of preemption law. I've worked in having to deal with preemption issues for many years on a number of fronts, and the reality is that if a field of law is comprehensively regulated, in fact, it does displace state law. Now, this is an issue of federal concern, crossing the federal border, who is here legally in our country or not. So what you're going to have if you allow laws like this to go forward is you're going to have a balkanization of immigration policy throughout this country. Every state will have different rules, different policies. This went far beyond that, in fact, by creating a brand new crime. It's not just a matter of saying, hey, we get to enforce federal law. Yes, there are cooperative agreements that the federal government has entered into and can enter into with states and state law and local law enforcement officials to enforce the law. But that's an entirely different situation than saying you just being here is a crime if you don't have a paper.
Well,
that's a civil infraction.
You know,
under federal law.
We could argue this forever, Vince.
And you'd be wrong.
The problem would be solved if the Obama administration would just enforce the federal law in the books, which they don't. If they would simply secure the border, which they won't. What we need to have, everybody agrees, what we need to have is the federal government enforce the law. The federal government has refused to do that. Now, Obama ran for office on the base. One of his claims to fame was going to be that he was going to implement immigration reform. He hasn't made any proposal to implement immigration reform at all. All of the governors along the border would agree with me that the federal government, and have agreed openly, that the federal government is not enforcing the law. They are not securing the border. And Vince, a very simple answer to this would be it would be a moot question of the states having to do anything if the Obama administration and the people in the Democratic Party would quit trying to fight it and just simply enforce the laws. Very frankly, we don't need new laws. We need to enforce the laws that are on the books. And very frankly, people in your party, led by your president, our president, have refused to do that. So let's get the problem solved by enforcing the law.
Hey, I'm happy to respond to that because actually there have been more deportations under President Obama's administration than in the past 15 years. And the reality is, you keep saying, why don't you enforce the law? Well, he is. In fact, he has taken a barrage of criticism from Hispanic groups across the country for increasing the deportations to the highest levels that they've ever been.
It's
a falsehood to claim that he's not enforcing the law. Now, the second part is the securing the border. You had your piece, John. Let me respond to what you said, because there was a lot of misinformation there. The second part of this is saying it's got to be secure the border, enforce the law. We know he's enforcing the law. We know that already because of all the criticism, and the numbers speak for themselves. On securing the border, it's the same thing. It's a false goal with the poorest border that we have. Essentially, they're saying build a wall, be able to control it 100%, which is absolutely never going to be possible. So they've set an impossible goal with respect to saying secure the border first, therefore, before we ever get to immigration policy. The reality is they go hand in hand. What this law has done, and if you pass similar laws across the country, is it actually makes our communities less safe, because then people know they can prey on those who are undocumented without any report to the police, because people are afraid of their immigration status. So it makes criminals bolder. They take action. And look, I speak to this from a point of personal experience. I grew up 7 blocks from the border. I'm not an open borders guy. I believe we have every right to enforce our border as a country, and we should. But this law is not the right way to go. It does nothing.
Well, here's the problem, Vince. Even the president himself has admitted that the only people they're deporting they're finally deporting the criminals. They are not deporting anybody else. They don't treat anybody else as a criminal, even though they're here illegally. And so what we've got is a situation where, yes, they're finally deporting some of the criminals. But in the meantime, they're supplying arms to the criminal cartels in Mexico, the thousands of weapons which are killing our police officers. These people, very frankly, are incompetent. They don't know what they're doing. They are not enforcing the law against all illegal aliens. And they've admitted they're not. They're only enforcing the law against people that they find are criminal elements who have created some other kind of crime. And they've admitted that. They are not enforcing the law against immigrants who come across illegally unless they have committed some other crime. And that's just wrong.
All right. John Munger and Vince Rabago talking about the High Court agreeing to rule on SB 1070. We're going to take a break right here. This is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in 2 items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost, and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits 2 people, and you can bring up to 2 items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's what's it with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my 2 items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining.
Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA 4-diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Well, 20 on the Buckmaster Show, the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-run and owned since 1985. Moe specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show. Live line. David, you are up with Vince Robago and John Munger. Go ahead, David.
I had a question for John Munger. So he was talking about most people that are getting deported are criminals, but usually that's just like a simple traffic stop, not drug running or stuff like that. But I was just wondering, how do you enforce immigration law? How do you deport an immigrant? How do you even know that they're an immigrant without racially profiling?
Okay, thanks, David.
Well, number one, what you do... If you go to any foreign country, you have to have your immigration papers with you. You have to have some kind of visa with you. We all know that. If you've traveled overseas, you always have to have your visa papers with you. What 1070 says is you can't be asked on the street for your immigration papers. There has to be some – first, you have to be stopped for some other event. You can't be profiled. You have to be stopped for some other event. And then there has to be a suspicion, and the law clearly says the suspicion cannot be based upon profiling. There has to be some kind of suspicion that you are not here legally. And it can't be profiling according to the law. So then you can be asked, just like in any other foreign country, for your papers. You are obligated to present your driver's license. And you can't get a driver's license, incidentally, if you're an illegal alien. So if you present your driver's license, there's no suspicion. But if you don't present a driver's license, why are you here? And it's that kind of thing that are legitimate questions. Okay, you don't have a driver's license. We know that illegal aliens can't get a driver's license. So what right do you have to be here? If you go to any other foreign country, you're going to be asked the same question. And I think that's a legitimate question.
Vince?
Yeah. First of all, the courts in this country, in the Ninth Circuit, have said that you can, in fact, profile people if you are by the border. And so when Arizona amended that law, they said you can't profile anybody except as the law allows. So the reality is that is the elephant in the living room. You can, in fact, profile people. So it's a bunch of malarkey to say you can't. The reality is that's exactly what's going to happen. Legal residents that are going to be impacted, Hispanics.
That isn't what the Arizona law says.
It does say. Look it up.
Yeah, but
I read it. I looked it up right before I came over here, John.
But the law, Vince, says you cannot use our law. Federal law does allow profiling.
Our law says you can't profile except as provided by law.
Yeah.
So provided by law means what's the law? Federal law says you can. That's what they're relying on.
But it says also that you can't ask for your paperwork on immigration unless you've been stopped for some other reason. This idea people have that you can just be stopped on the street because you look Hispanic is just
It's wrong. Already happened, John. No. There's the case of the truck driver up in Phoenix.
That's illegal.
A commercial truck driver. Mm-hmm. Exactly, and that's the point. That's the point that people are going to be impacted. Vince, and the ones who are impacted are Hispanics.
Vince, you can have any law that's violated. Lots of laws are violated by the authorities all the time. That's what we lawyers know.
And that's what Republicans are getting about this.
But that's not what the law says.
Are the ones that are getting impacted. That's the elephant
in the living room. You can't attack a law because it's misused from time to time. If that were the case, every single law in the books would be illegal because every single law is violated by the authorities from time to time. That's not an excuse.
Let me put a stake on this. Conservatives of John's own party and libertarians ought to have their hair on fire because what they're demanding is a national ID requirement, essentially such government overreaching that at the moment's notice, I demand your ID, you've got to present it. You want to talk about a return to fascism and a national ID program, conservatives ought to be rolling over right now, jumping up and down, screaming at people like John for what they're doing.
If I stop some guy in a traffic stop, Vince, and he doesn't have an Arizona driver's license, there's got to be a reason he doesn't have an Arizona driver's license. And it's because one of the potential reasons is because he's not entitled to one and he may be an illegal alien. Look, our law is no different than the law in any other country. You've got if you're here in this country and you're speaking with some kind of foreign accent and it doesn't matter what it is. And
let's
you don't
profile you then. That's what you're saying.
Well, if you want to call that profiling, that's fine. But that's not racial profiling. And moreover, as you pointed out, even the courts.
Everybody better start
Vince,
getting afraid.
Please let me finish. Even the federal courts, as you said, even the Ninth Circuit, as liberal as it is, has said you can do some profiling. There's nothing wrong with profiling in certain limited situations. If some guy you stop has a foreign accent, he doesn't have a driver's license, why the heck can't you, like any other country, ask for his papers? And you can do that. Nobody's asking for a national identity card, Vince. All I want is an Arizona driver's license, which all of us have to have.
You see, John, there's this little thing that we're going to celebrate on Thursday, which is called the Bill of Rights. And it's the U.S. Constitution.
It's got nothing to do with the Bill of Rights.
Absolutely it does. So on Thursday, when you hear these kind of arguments, look in that Constitution. Look
That's
at those
nothing.
Bill of Rights. See where it says you have to carry your driver's license. See where it says
Arizona
you have to have a national
says
ID
you
requirement.
Have to have your driver's
and that's
license
the reality
if you're
of
driving
it.
And you know it.
All right.
It's got nothing to do with the Bill of Rights.
John, should Congress extend the payroll tax before the end of the year, and will they settle this dust-up?
I think they should, and I think they will settle it. I think it will. It's not a question in my mind of whether we should extend it or whether it will be extended. I think the answer to both of those is yes. The question is how we'll extend it, and the lines have been drawn. The Democrats don't want to cut any spending. They want to just add more taxes. They want to pick some minority group. In this case, it's the people with these large incomes. They want to pick off some minority group. I'm not going to allow any minority group to be isolated any more than I would have allowed the Jews in Germany to be picked off just because I wasn't one of them. You shouldn't isolate minority groups and make them scapegoats. The answer is what the Republicans have said is, look, if we're going to cut income to the government, then let's cut expenses. The Democrats have refused to do that consistently.
Okay.
They have never put a plan on the books to actually cut spending. The president has never proposed anything cut spending.
I tell you what, if you want to call the wealthiest 1%, the millionaires and billionaires, a quote-unquote minority group, then you are so out of touch and the Republican Party is so out of touch with the average man, working man and woman in this country. The reality is the Republicans are voting and holding hostage middle-class America
now
by refusing to extend these payroll
cuts.
They already voted. They voted it down, and they want to use it for political gain. The reality is they are okay with increasing taxes, $1,000 per family, for families that make $50,000 a year, and they want to not have any impact on the richest of the rich in this country. And Americans understand that.
Vince,
they're losing the battle. Even Senator John McCain came out and talked about this issue.
Vince,
Republicans are losing in the court of public opinion because they're supporting
is,
millionaires over the average working
the
man.
The problem
woman.
You guys have is you always want to pit one group against another.
You're voting that way. That's why.
You always want to have one group against another. Why not, for once, just step forward and as we have proposed, cut some spending. And the Republicans have paid for this bill, and they've added, incidentally, this pipeline, the development of this pipeline, which everybody admits was ready to go at the State Department and the Interior Department when President Obama refused to put it forward. It'll create 20,000 jobs. We want to do this. You guys don't. You want to create class warfare. You don't want to cut spending. You desperately want a bigger government.
It's only class warfare when the poor people object.
John Munger and Vince Rabago, thank you both very much. And both of you, I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. John, a little bit of an advance happy birthday to you coming up this weekend. Thanks a lot. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's is located next to Copenhagen at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we will be talking about the Southwest Books of the Year. We will be announcing the 13 top picks of the year. That's next. Stay with us.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama says America's strong presence in the Middle East will endure as the U.S. war in Iraq comes to an end. All U.S. troops in Iraq due to leave the country by the end of this month. British Prime Minister David Cameron says Europe's planned fiscal pact could clash with existing EU rules. Cameron defended his decision not to join the agreement today, and told lawmakers that Britain would remain vigorously engaged in the European Union debate over how it will work. A warning from Moody's Investor Service sending stocks plunging. Moody's says last week's summit of European leaders produced few new measures to address the continent's debt crisis. Right now, the Dow's down by about 216 points. The Nasdaq is off 48, the S&P 25 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
This is the Buckmaster Show, the home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners listening to the Buckmaster Show out of Globe and Douglas. So with all three stations, we figure we're in about eight of Arizona's 15 counties with the Buckmaster Show. The Southwest Books of the Year competition began in 1977 by the Arizona Daily Star and continued in the year 2000 by the Pima County Public Library. The Southwest Books of the Year Best Reading publication is published by the Southwest Literature Project of the Pima County Public Library in partnership with the Friends of the Pima County Public Library and the Arizona Historical Society. Books selected by two or more of the reviewers become a top pick, and this year there are 13 top picks. Two of the five reviewers, who, by the way, are Southwest subject specialists and voracious consumers of Southwestern literature, join us now on the Buckmaster Show to talk about the cream of the crop of this year's submissions. Bruce Dingus is the Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society. Writer Bill Broyles is a research associate at the Southwest Center based at the University of Arizona. Mr. Broyles is an accomplished author and editor whose books regularly turn up on the top picks list, and this year is no exception. Bruce and Bill, good to see both of you.
Good afternoon, Bill.
Thank you.
And a congratulations to Mr. Broyles.
Thank you.
And we'll get to your book shortly. Generally, Bruce, 13 top picks seems like I've been doing this for quite a few years, as have you. That's kind of pushing the outer limits of how many top picks you have.
It is a lot. It's a design problem, too. Elaine Woodhams, our director, let me know to get them all on the page. But we just had a really good crop of books this year. It was spread out. Not everybody read every book, of course. And we all had a little bit different take on some of these things.
Bill, your overall impression of the books?
I thought it was a wonderful crop of book with a diverse list of history. And we had three novels this year. And photograph books, large table, coffee table books, and even a cookbook again this year.
Well, we have our work cut out for us over the next half hour to talk about the 13 picks, and we will begin with the book Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State, and this is by the historian Jim Turner, and we had Mr. Turner a few weeks ago on the Buckmaster Show talking about this book. Bill Broyles, let's begin with you on this one. What did you like about Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State?
Every page had information and an illustration that was new and fresh. And many of your listeners will know Jim from his presentations to history groups around the state. And this is just a wonderful example of his work. And as one of our panelists said, it makes you proud to live in Arizona.
And Bruce Dingus, Jim Turner was a colleague of yours over at the Arizona Historical Society for several years.
He was our historian, and he did the outreach for the local museums, and that's one of the great treasures of this book. Jim, when he was out in the local historical societies, noticed photographs. And so many of the photographs in this book are just splendid examples of what people were doing, and they're photographs that you haven't seen before. A lot of picture books, you see the same photos over and over again. These will surprise you on almost every page.
Yeah, and he has some of the Maynard Dixon, Dr. Mark Sublett of the Medicine Man Gallery, I lent out a few of the Dixons so the images could be reproduced in the book Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State. Really makes a really handsome addition, doesn't it, Bill Broyles?
Well, and it gives a running start on the centennial, too.
That's indeed coming up very soon, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, Arizona, celebrating its 100th anniversary. Next book, a very familiar author to myself and many of our listeners and who are longtime viewers of Arizona Illustrated, with Big Jim Griffith, the famous folklorist. And Big Jim's new book is titled Border Runs Through It, Journeys in Regional History and Folklore. And it looks like four reviewers all liked this book. And I think that may be your, if you go by how many reviewers liked a particular book, Bruce Dingus, I think this one would be at the top of the list.
Yeah, I think everybody here just fell in love with this immediately. We've all known Jim for so long. He's a Tucson and Southern Arizona institution. This is Jim in a nutshell, and it's Southern Arizona in a nutshell. He explains who and what we are culturally and socially, and it's the kind of book that I think you ought to be handed to everybody that gets off an airplane or a train in Arizona. It'll give you in just a very, very brief space of time everything you know about what makes Southern Arizona and Northern Sonora unique, and it's got incredible illustrations by Dave Fitzsimmons.
Bill Broyles wrote this, and I like it. Jim Griffith is like your favorite uncle who always took time to give you a wink and a good story and maybe slip a little candy into your pocket during weddings or funerals.
That's Jim. And, you know, your previous segment was on the borderland, and I think Jim explains why many people refuse to see the border as a divided line and instead see that Northern Sonora and Southern Arizona have a great link. So even down to things of why the tacos in Southern Arizona are primarily wheat and beef instead of other meat, because Father Kino brought the wheat and the livestock.
And that book is A Border Runs Through It, Journeys in Regional History and Folklore by Jim Griffith, published by Rio Nuevo Publishers, a local publisher. Our next book, Cow Country Cooking, Recipes and Tales from Northern Arizona's Historic Ranches by Kathy McCrane. And Bill Broyles, this was one of your picks.
It was one of my picks, and I don't read cookbooks, but I read this one cover to cover. Wonderful art, paintings, color photographs, and it's a very sincere cookbook, and I think you too will be taken by it. It's kind of the honest meal for working folks, and Jennifer Berry, one of our librarians there at the Pima County Library, mixed together some of these things and said the food was sterling. But as every cow camp or ranch house cook knows, you have to sort of rely on what you have in the cupboard. And very simple ingredients and very well done. It was probably the most surprising book to me of the litter this year.
And that one is Cow Country Cooking, Recipes and Tales from Northern Arizona's Historic Ranches. Our fourth book that we'll be talking about of the 13 top picks, Crazy from the Heat, A Chronicle of 20 Years in the Big Bend by James H. Evans, University of Texas Press. This was also a selection of Bill Broyles and David Laird. Both of the reviewers liked this book.
This is a photography book. It's about as big as a TV tray. You can't just put it in your pocket and take it and read at the bus stop. But it's wonderful art by Evans, and he surprises us on every page. One page may have a stunning vista with lightning and clouds and sort of that West Texas aura, and the next page may be of a turtle or a vinegaroon or a nude lying in water or people down at the cafe. There's even a picture of a piece of pie in there, but it's just so well integrated.
Do you know what type of pie?
I don't remember. Oh. I think it may have been peach pecan. Or something. But it's just a delightful book and totally unexpected. He was basically a portrait photographer and wanted to take portraits of a landscape, which is kind of a oxymoron, but I think he succeeded in this case.
So far, we've talked about Arizona, a celebration of the Grand Canyon State, A Border Runs Through It, Journeys in Regional History and Folklore, Cow Country Cooking, Recipes and Tales from Northern Arizona's Historic Ranches, and Crazy from the Heat, A Chronicle of 20 Years in the Big Bend. Desert Towers, Fat Cat Summits, and Kitty Litter Rock by Steve Crusher Bartlett. Bruce Dingus, what about this book?
I'm going to have to defer to my colleague here. Bill brought this in, all excited that he had gotten this book, and people grabbed it and started reading it, and I never got quite a chance to do that.
And I should have noticed here that this was one of Bill Broyles' picks as well.
Well, it's interesting. It's kind of a non-traditional book for the Southwest Books of the Year because it's a mountain climbing book. But it's about climbing the sandstone towers in Monument Valley, for example. If you think of climbing some of those wonderful places like the Minton or other places up in the Moab country with sheer faces and loose rock. And even Margaret Loughery, one of our other panelists, enjoyed it as well as David Laird. But if you have acrophobia, you might turn the pages carefully because there's a lot of down views with the camera. But it's really a history of mountain climbing in the Colorado Plateau area. And I was very pleased to find out that it made our list, but also was a finalist, one of the top five mountaineering books in the world this year. It didn't win the Tasker International Prize, which is a very lucrative, I think, $25,000 prize. But it was in the top five in the world. So
that's Bill Broyles talking about the book Desert Towers, Fat Cat Summits, and Kitty Litter Rock. Certainly for titles, it gets my vote for the Southwest pick of the year from Buckmaster, as far as a title anyway. We're going to take a break. You are listening to the Southwest Books of the Year. We are talking about the 13 top picks. We will continue with the remaining, let's see, we've got about seven left to cover, so stay with us.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
This is the Buckmaster Show, and we are talking about the top 13 picks in the annual Southwest Books of the Year competition. So far, we have talked about Arizona, A Celebration of the Grand Canyon State by Jim Turner, A Border Runs Through It, Journeys in Regional History and Folklore by Jim Griffith, Cow Country Cooking Recipes and Tales from Northern Arizona's Historic Ranches, Crazy from the Heat, A Chronicle of 20 Years of the Big Bend, and Desert Towers, Fat Cat Summits, and Kitty Litter Rock. Bruce Dingus is with us, and Bill Broyles, two of the five reviewers this year in the Southwest Books of the Year competition. As I say, there are 13, so let's get back at it. Book number six, Field Man, Life as a Desert Archaeologist. This by Julian Hayden, edited by Mr. Bill Broyles, who is seated to my right, and Diane Boyer, University of Arizona Press. Congratulations, Bill, on this one, but Bruce selected this as one of the top picks, so why don't we begin with Bruce and then a quick comment from you, Bill. Go ahead, Bruce.
Well, I couldn't help myself. If anybody's a living legend in the Southwest, it's Julian Hayden. He called himself an excavator. He was, in fact, a self-taught archaeologist, a man of strong opinions, many of which are expressed here. And I think the beauty of this book is Julian's voice comes through in it so strongly. That is a difficult thing to do as an editor, to leave the writer's voice in the book. And here it is. It's like sitting on Julian's patio, listening to him talk about his beloved pinacates and desert varnish and just about anything else that happened to pop into his mind. You didn't have to know Julian to enjoy this book. If you knew him, you'll really enjoy it.
And Bill Broyles?
Diane Boyer and I had the privilege of interviewing Julian over several years and felt we had to share the story with his friends and the general public, and we appreciated working with the University of Arizona Press on it.
And you worked a long time on this. You met with Julian many times.
Many times, and we sat on his patio, and he began not liking the process of talking into a tape recorder, but by the end he would meet us at the door ready with stories.
And the book is Field Man, Life as a Desert Archaeologist by Julian D. Hayden. Next book, The Killer is Dying. This is a novel, and I think this is one of three novels that were selected as top picks. And Bruce, this was one of Bruce Dingus, this was one of your picks.
I think Jim Salas is probably the best underappreciated writer in the country. He's done a whole series of novels set in New Orleans featuring a black detective. He's now moved to Scottsdale. He's a jazz musician. He's written a biography of Chester Himes, who wrote Cotton Comes to Harlem. And this, and also the book Drive a couple of years ago, which was a pick and made into a motion picture recently. This is set in, this Killer is Dying is set in Phoenix. It's a hitman who knows he's dying of cancer. And two other characters, an over-the-hill cop and a young boy, the three never meet, but the mystery is solved through these three separate stories. What it really is a great meditation on the loneliness of metropolitan living.
And he has authored nearly 30 mystery books.
Yeah, he's a remarkable writer, from my opinion.
Next book, Kit Carson, The Life of an American Border Man by David Reemley, University of Oklahoma Press. And we'll stay again with Bruce Dingus. And this was one of your picks again, Bruce.
There's nobody more controversial than Kit Carson. And this is in the Oklahoma Biography series. There's no new ground broken here. But what Reemley does so beautifully is to give a balanced assessment of Carson. And he basically comes down and says that, you know, he was overappreciated as a great white hero in his own time, and he's unjustly condemned as just another damn killer in our own. He was, what Remley says justly, I think, is that he was a man of his time. He had the failings and the attributes, some of the finer attributes of his own time, and he needs to be viewed that way.
Kit Carson, The Life of an American Border Man, An Island in the Sky. Bill Broyles pronounced that. That's Llano.
Llano Estacado, the okay. Staked Plains of Texas.
All right, An Island in the Sky, and this is a Texas Tech University Press book. Go ahead, Bill Broyles, on this one.
The editors pulled together six photographers and about, 20 essayists, Bruce, and produced just a magnificent book that pays tribute to this little understood area of Texas. And it also includes some of the most famous grasslands, ranch lands in the West. So it pulls together the history and the people that live there. Just a marvelous rendition of a book.
Navajos Wear Nikes is our next book, A Reservation Life by Jim
Kristofic.
Kristofic, University of New Mexico Press, and this was a Bruce Dingus pick.
This is an interesting story. Kristofic has got a great sense of humor and also a good although he's a young man, a good sense of perspective. His mother, he grew up in Philadelphia, was born in Philadelphia. His mother, when her marriage ended, decided that she'd always wanted to live with Indians. And so she moved with her two young boys to the Navajo Reservation. And Jim grew up going to school, usually as the only white kid in an entire Navajo school. And this is his perspective on what that was like. It's very funny. And also it's got a good sense of perspective about it, because he asks – you ask yourself, and he asks himself going through this, is what makes you an Indian? What cultural attributes do you have that makes you an Indian?
That book is Navajos Wear Nikes, A Reservation Life. The next book, the second of three novels that are on the list, Old Border Road. Bruce Dingus, you like this one. You
know, here's a historian who has three novels on his list. But this is a first novel. It's set in Yuma, although Yuma is never stated. This book is all atmosphere. Susan Froderberg is just a wonderful writer who uses language to paint a picture of a place. You can feel the dust and the parched earth. And you can also feel what's going on through the mind of her young heroine, who is an innocent when this starts and is badly used by most of the people in her life, and yet finds her own way in this dry, parched world. It's a wonderful first novel.
The book is called Old Border Road. And I'm going to skip now to one of the picks of Bill Broyles. This is The Rio Grande, an Eagle's View by Adriel Heise. And Bill Broyles, this is one of your picks, and this is a publication by Wild Earth Guardians. That's an effort to save the Rio Grande from becoming the dry remains of a ghost river and protect its beauty and delicate ecology.
Adriel's pictures are absolutely stunning on this, and he takes them from that silly little ultralight plane,
yes,
that he flies around. He covered about 1,900 miles over the period of at least 10 years putting together the illustrations, and there's about 200 superbly reproduced pictures in this book. And they'll just bring to life the river again and show you that there is some hope. You know, my image of the Rio is that it's a dead river. But if Adriel's right with his photographs, it can come to life again and be the healthy Rio Bravo that it once was.
Adriel's a personal friend, and I was up looking at his work, which is on display. It's open to the public. Just call Ventana Medical Systems in Oro Valley. They have his work hanging in their gallery, and it is absolutely stunning. We have two more books to cover and less than 3 minutes to do it. Queen of America by Luis Alberto Urrea, published by Little Brown and Company. Bruce Dingus.
Anybody that knows Luis, and that's a lot of people by now, know that they're in for a treat. This is a sequel to The Hummingbird's Daughter, although it's a standalone book. The story of Teresita, the saint of Cabora, the curandero who was very popular in this part of the country around the turn of the century, fled revolutionary Mexico. And first of all, this is a beautifully written book. There's a lot of funny material in it. It moves right along, but it's really got a serious purpose. And what Luis is looking at here is questions of faith and fame. He sees Teresita, as he says, as both Madonna and the Madonna. And so he's looking at what happens when people capture somebody's imagination and then are transformed into cultural heroes.
And the next book and our final book, it's a beautiful art book, thoroughly researched biography of the Navajo artist, the late Navajo artist, Quincy Tohoma. This is by Charnel Havens and Vera Marie Badashir, known as Bunny Badashir to all of her friends. This is a terrific book. I was able to interview here on the Buckmaster Show Charnel and Bunny. Go ahead, Bruce. Bruce and Bill on this one. Quick comment, Bill.
Your listeners may not think they know the name, but if they open any page, they'll recognize the drawing of Native American art in such vivid color and passion and spirit.
And I think what you'll also find out is a great perspective on the how difficult it is to be a Native American artist in a white art world.
Where can people find the list of these books and go over the topics?
Just go to your Pima County Public Library branch.
Bill Broyles, Bruce Dingus, congratulations. Another Southwest Books of the Year competition, this for the year 2011. Thank you both very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is brought to you in part by Bill Buckmaster Communications, of course, and it's brought to you by Michael C. Flowers, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. Flowers Rieger, the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show today, the Monday edition. We will be back with you tomorrow from noon to 1 here on KVOI. 10:30, The Voice will be talking with the new Senate president. That will be our lead interview. Margaret Regan will be along, the Tucson Weekly arts editor and also the bi-monthly contributor now to the Buckmaster Show. The Money Maker Report with Shelley Fishman also is coming up, and Keith Rosenblum, the Mexico contributor to the Buckmaster Show. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 9:30, KAPR, Douglas. And 1240, KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.